and FA-18 is down in a California neighborhood. The big airline lobby group gets a new chairman, and two U.S. pilots face manslaughter charges in Brazil. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 9th, 2008. A U.S. Marines FA-18 Hornet fighter jet has crashed in a residential neighborhood about 2 miles from Marine Corps Air Station Miramar near San Diego, California. FAA spokesman Ian Greger told the Associated Press the pilot was able to eject before the aircraft hit the ground near Interstate 805 just before noon local time yesterday. The crash sparked at least one house fire, and images from the scene showed two nearby cars burning. The Los Angeles Times reports two people on the ground were killed, with a grandmother and two small children who lived in the burning home still missing. The pilot's condition was not known by our deadline. Follow the unfolding details at aero-news.net. If you only listened to the Airline Pilots Association, you'd quickly get the impression that United Airlines CEO Glenn Tilton is a total nincompoop. ALPA even launched a website this year, www.glenntilton.com, which is dedicated to documenting what the union insists are Tilton's failings and seeking support to force him out of his job. But among his peers, Tilton is apparently more highly regarded. On Friday, he became the new chairman of the board of directors of the Air Transport Association, taking over from former Northwest CEO Doug Steenland. ATA president and CEO James May observed, quote, "Glenn has proven time and again his strong leadership ability during the most tumultuous of times," unquote. May says Tilton will lead ATA toward its goals in air traffic control modernization, energy, and environmental policy. ALPA will no doubt be disappointed to know that Tilton also gets to keep his day job as United CEO. You might want to think over this next story before you decide to fly in Brazil. Sao Paulo newspapers are reporting the Brazilian Air Force has finished its investigation and concluded that a Gol Airlines 737 and an Embraer Legacy 600 collided over the Amazon September 29, 2006, because the two American pilots flying the business jet inadvertently switched their transponder to standby mode. This is far from an impartial investigating body. The Brazilian Air Force administers the nation's air traffic control system and employs controllers. There apparently was no evidence to support the claim that the loss of the transponder signal was due to any action by the pilots. XL Air pilots Joseph Lepore and Jan Palladino and four controllers have all been indicted on involuntary manslaughter charges. The Associated Press reports that if they're convicted, all could face up to 3 years in prison. XL Air VP David Rimmer commented on Saturday, quote, "The transponder issue is a distraction from the true cause of the accident, which is an air traffic control system that puts two airplanes on a collision course for about an hour," unquote. It's not clear whether Lepore and Palladino will return to Brazil for trial or what the diplomatic ramifications will be if they don't. If you've been feeling a little like a sardine on packed airliners this holiday season, it might lead you to believe the airlines are doing pretty well. Well, they're not. The Air Transport Association is sticking by earlier predictions that the U.S. domestic airlines will combine for total losses of $4 to $6 billion in 2008. But ABC News reports the fuel price crisis that drove many carriers deep into red ink over the summer has forced them to prepare for an economic crisis now battering many other industries. Capacity and workforce cuts and a host of new a la carte fees imposed to stem losses when oil hit $147 a barrel are now keeping the companies afloat during the economic slump. And it appears much of the slump still lies ahead. ATA's John Meenan comments, quote, "We're starting to hear some reports of advanced bookings being off significantly, and that, of course, is a very ominous sign for what we could be looking at in 2009, unquote. David Field, the U.S. editor of Airline Business Magazine, predicts we will not see the airlines begging Congress for a bailout. Quote, "The cost of oil removed their strongest argument for asking for aid. They can't go up and say, 'Mr. Chairman, my costs have gone up 87,000% because their costs have come down, unquote. As for the unbundling, Field jokes, quote, "Fees are like diamonds. They are forever. I don't think fees will go away," unquote. The anti-air travel group Plain Stupid has had its share of blunders over the past couple of years, including a 2006 protest of short-haul flights that targeted the offices of EasyJet but ended up obstructing the entrances of the wrong building in North London. The group's latest protest Monday morning may bring it a major PR setback, BBC reports about 50 members of Plain Stupid used bolt cutters to breach security at London Stansted Airport, resulting in the cancellation of 56 Ryanair flights. The action will severely impact the travel plans of hundreds of passengers who were unable to immediately rebook due to full flights. Even travelers concerned with climate change were disgusted. Stuart Maycock, whose plans to celebrate his first wedding anniversary were dashed by the disruption, told the BBC, quote, "I hope they throw the book at them," unquote. Up next on ANN, Europe launches next-gen air traffic control ahead of the U.S. Two Swedish men survive an overnight stay on an ice floe after ditching a Skymaster. And German airline policy frustrates accident investigators. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 9th. I'm Paul Plagg. While plans for updating the U.S. air traffic control system continue to rattle aimlessly around Washington, D.C., the rest of the world is moving forward. On Monday, the European Union launched its own version of NextGen, called CSAR, for Single European Sky ATM Research. Full implementation is anticipated by 2020. The $2.7 billion program will replace ground-based ATC infrastructure with a GPS-based system to ease congestion, increase efficiency, and reduce emissions, noise, and fuel burn. Eurocontrol's Director General David McMillan commented, quote, "Compared with today's way of managing aircraft, CSAR represents a paradigm shift. We will change the way we manage air traffic. No more skyways, just the most efficient trajectory to save fuel and time," unquote. A ferry flight ended prematurely with a forced landing of a Cessna Skymaster in icy Arctic waters off the Canadian territory of Nunavut on Sunday. Miraculously, the two Swedish citizens on board survived a night stranded on an ice floe and were rescued Monday morning by the crew of the fishing vessel Atlantic Enterprise. Search and Rescue's Jerry Grakowski told the Canadian press it's not known what caused the engine failures, and she adds the two were very lucky. It's also worth noting they were well prepared, wearing life jackets and neoprene survival suits. A Cormorant helicopter airlifted the men to Iqaluit, the territorial capital of Nunavut, on Monday morning. Bo Mortensen, the captain of the Atlantic Enterprise, described what he saw as his vessel drew near the stranded flyers. Quote, "They were crying and all that. They were happy to see the boat," unquote. He noted they spent 18 hours in temperatures as low as minus 20 Celsius, or about 4 below zero Fahrenheit. Mortensen said the men were flying the plane back to Sweden for its new owner, who had bought it from someone in the U.S. In a demonstration of just how different things can be from country to country, German airline officials have refused to release any details identifying the XL Airways pilots who were reportedly flying an Air New Zealand A320 that crashed into the Mediterranean Sea near Perpignan, France, November 27th. Investigators complain they're being frustrated in their work by an XL Airways policy against divulging information about pilots. By contrast, Air New Zealand divulged information about employees involved immediately. As ANN reported, the Airbus A320 was coming off lease to XL and had just been repainted in Air New Zealand colors for its return to service with that airline. The crash happened during a routine maintenance checkout flight. All seven on board died. Investigators have not identified a cause. EADS North America has received a contract from the U.S. Army for 39 additional UH-72A Lakota light utility helicopters. That extends production through 2010. The $207 million extension brings the total number of UH-72As ordered by the Army to 123. The contract modification includes mission kits to equip some of the Lakotas for medevac and VIP operations, along with pilot, maintenance, and procedural training. The Army plans to acquire a total of 345 light utility helicopters through 2016, with missions ranging from homeland security to drug interdiction, support, and logistics flights. The UH-72A is based on Eurocopter's EC-145 multi-role helicopter. In addition to their continental U.S. assignments, overseas deployments of UH-72As are anticipated for the U.S. Army in Europe, Japan, and the Pacific region. The UH-72A's phase-in enables aging National Guard OH-58s and UH-1s to be retired and frees up Army UH-60 Blackhawks for assignment to warfighting missions. Still ahead, Fred Reed shows us all how to land on our feet. Aviation and aerospace still faces worker shortages despite the recession. And Boeing falls short of even reduced analyst expectations. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, December 9th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. It's a safe bet that 2009's economy will provide lots of stories about people who are handed employment lemons and make lemonade. For Fred Reed, that opportunity came early. The Dallas Morning News interviewed Reed, who was the CEO of Virgin America up until last year, when the U.S. Department of Transportation decided that U.S. laws on airline ownership would require the new carrier to purge executives close to Sir Richard Branson in order to get an operating certificate. Reed was ousted early this year. He landed on his feet in August when he was named president of Bombardier Flexjet, based in Richardson, Texas. The company offers its clients fractional ownership in business jets and maintains and operates the planes. Reed told the Morning News, quote, "This is a better business model than any airline. That's a factual truth. I was very dedicated to Virgin America. It wasn't my choice to leave, but you always make the best of what happens," unquote. This wasn't Reed's first experience making lemonade. In May of 2001, he was named president of Delta Airlines. Just 4 months later, the September 11th terrorist attacks sent the entire industry into a downward spiral. So what will become of Flexjet in the current economic crisis? Reed speaks with the confidence of someone who's seen hard times before. Quote, "This particular company has the highest operating efficiency and the highest levels of customer satisfaction in its category. We're going to deal with the downturn and make the company stronger coming out the other side," unquote. While many industries struggle to find places for furloughed workers, it looks as if aviation could actually become a workers' market. A recent industry study finds that 25% of all aviation employees are eligible to retire this year. Not all of them will, but there will obviously be room for lots of new faces in the industry over the next few years. 24-year-old Jamal Larkins, ambassador of aviation and space education for the FAA, wants to help meet this growing need by educating America's youth through a nationwide Dream Launch tour. Dream Launch is sponsored by Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University and opens students' eyes to the opportunities available to those who dream big and work hard, whether it's as a pilot, aerospace engineer, air traffic controller, or other rewarding aviation position. FAA Acting Administrator Robert Sturgill notes, quote, "Careers in aviation are there by the thousands. Jamal's job is to open the door for students and their teachers," unquote. The Dream Launch Tour officially started last week in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, drawing 4,000 students at the 2008 DFW Airport Aviation and Transportation Career Expo. The tour has stops in Oakland, California, December 12th and 18th, and then in 2009 visits Atlanta, Augusta, Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Fairfax County, Houston, Miami, Newark, Pensacola, Phoenix, Raleigh-Durham, San Diego, and Seattle. It was expected that Boeing's deliveries would be down in November, coming off a 57-day strike. But industry analyst Kai Von Rumor of Cowan & Company expressed a bit of surprise Friday when that number turned out to be only 4 airplanes. Quote, "Even with the Thanksgiving holiday, Boeing had over 2.5 weeks to start recovery from the strike, with lots of planes near completion going into the work stoppage," unquote. He told the Associated Press his firm expected 15 to 20 deliveries. The strike isn't the only issue stalling production at Boeing. The litany of setbacks in the 787 Dreamliner program was recently aggravated by a revelation that hundreds of established models produced in the past year have been built with nut plate fasteners which missed getting their required corrosion-inhibiting cadmium coatings. And finally, we're coming into the season for New Year's resolutions, and U.S. Airways has already started. Despite getting battered by fuel prices over the summer, and an ongoing 3-year struggle to combine pilot workforces following its merger with America West, 2008 wasn't that bad a year for U.S. Airways. The Charlotte Observer notes the carrier rose from the bottom of the heap in on-time performance to just miss the number one spot through September, and even flew most of its flights on time over a Thanksgiving holiday that saw competitors stumble. But things are far from perfect. U.S. Airways saw passenger complaints drop 40% this year, but it still trails all its competitors except United. Carrie Hester, U.S. Airways VP of Reservations and Customer Service Planning, says that will change in 2009. Quote, "We were properly prioritized in fixing our reliability first. What we're focusing on in 2009 is being easier to do business with," unquote. She adds that U.S. Airways might have done better at reducing complaints had it not led the charge toward unbundling and a la carte fees. Still, she says those complaints have been modest and usually trail off soon after a new fee begins. Hester also said something that may surprise many customers who file complaints. Quote, "We read every one of them," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Craig Fuller, incoming president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Craig is involved in ongoing discussions with transportation officials in the Obama transition team, and we'll get an update. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.